Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening,
good evening,
guests, friends, and the like. I hope that you can't hear too much of what I've been going through in my voice, but that being said, it is showtime, and this is Becky. I am the host of Becky Book Club. And I really ask that you settle in and get ready to enjoy tonight's topic. But before we go there, let's have a quick moment of prayer in lieu of all the stuff that's going on with not only me, but everybody else, Father. I would just like to come before you this evening, as humble as I know how, and I'd like to thank you for all the things that you have done, that you are doing, that you will do, and even those things that you won't do, because you know what is best. I ask that you put a hedge of protection around the show, the host, and even each and every guest that is presently here and those that will be here in the future. I ask that each and every person who comes to this show presently and in the future will be blessed as we share obedience, the interfering of grace. Thank you. Always, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now, tonight's episode of Becky Book Club, Obedience. The interference of grace. The subject will be featured in the reading of said scripture, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. And it reads as follows: When Abijah died, he was burned in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. There was peace in the land for 10 years. Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the pagan altars and the shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down Asherah poles. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and his commands. Asa also removed the pagan shrines, as well as the incense altars in every one of Judah's towns. So Asa's kingdom enjoyed a period of peace. During those peaceful years, he was able to build up the fortified cities throughout Judah. No one tried to make war against him at this time, for the Lord was giving him rest from his enemies. Can anyone say rest? Asa told the people of Judah, "Let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. The land is ours because we sought the Lord our God, and he has given us rest from our enemies." So they went ahead with these projects and vision. King Asa had an army of 300,000 warriors from the tribe of Judah, armed with large shields and spears. He also had an army of 280,000 warriors from the tribe of Benjamin, armed with small shields and bows. Both armies were composed of courageous fighting men. Can anyone say courageous? Now, as the story would go, King Asa was there, equipped with these courageous fighting men. Now, once an Egyptian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1,000,000 men. Can you say 1,000,000 men marching army, and 300 chariots. They advanced to the city of Maresha. So Asa deployed his army for battle in the valley north of Maresha. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Egyptians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. Anyone say fled? Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gora, and so many Ethiopians fell that they were unable to rally. They were destroyed by the Lord and his army, and the army of Judah carried off vast quantities of plunder. While they were in Gora, they attacked all of the towns in that area, and terror from the Lord came upon the people there. As a result, vast quantities of plunder were taken from these towns too. They also attacked the camps of herdsmen and captured many sheep and camels before finally returning to Jerusalem. And so we have obedience, the interference of grace. Now, as we ponder, if you will, this text, I would like to set the stage, if I may. We have a man who came from kingship, if you will, of a man who was a king, who obeyed God. The king prior to this king, who was his father, obeyed God. And so it is hinted at here that this obedience of the predecessor caused the interference of grace. Can anyone say interference? Now, I'm still coughing. Have been for weeks. Forgive me in advance. One time only. Apology. Now, the text lets us know that this King Asa had 300 strong plus 280 strong men who were courageous warriors. But they were going up against a million strong. A million. That is twice the amount of men and chariots. They had chariots to boot. Well, as the battle began, Asa began to cry out to the Lord. And he begins to, if you will, compel the Lord to uphold his reputation, if you will, as being more than a conqueror. As he went against men that were twice in number as his men. And so, obedience, the interference of grace, was forewarned. But the question is put before us, how often have you looked at impossible situations and said, unless God does something, it's all over. This is where Asa was when he looked at the situation of him being overcome by twice the men alone, not almost 300 chariots strong. He felt like the situation was over. Asa had everything against him because the Egyptian army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. But in the middle of that impossible situation, Asa cried out to the Lord his God, "O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty." Asa obeyed and prayed. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is the beginning of the plight and the order of God fearing with his grace. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell from the reading of this text that Asa was in dire need of and desiring, if you will, God's interference into his situation, because he felt that that would give him victory over his enemies. He was in dire need of victory, wanting of victory over his enemies. And he felt that if he were to compel God, if he were to cry out to God and admit his inability to do anything with his situation because his situation was insurmountable, impossible, and Asa seemingly have known here that God is the God who interferes with grace when a person is in an impossible situation. You know, the word tells us that God is the God who specializes in things that are or seem to be possible to man. And so it appears here that Asa knew this. So Asa began to cry out to God. And up to this point here, Asa had remained obedient as well as his predecessor, his father. And because of his obedience, and because of him honoring God, because of him praying to God, because of him moving from his atmosphere, anything that would offend God, that would insult God, will cause God grief. He was obedient, and he prayed, and he reverenced God. And even in his plight, he acknowledges that this situation is impossible for him, but it is more than possible for God. And so in that place, Asa cries out to his God, and because he has been obedient, because he has cried out in prayer to God, he is expecting that God will intervene. And so that being said, Asa's obedience releases the grace of God. How is it that Asa remained fully committed to the Lord throughout his life, when his father and grandfather were not such good examples? I call it the interference of grace. God interferes in Satan's workings and brings grace to bear on grim reality. The notion that evil begets evil must at some point give way to the interference of grace, or the consequences would be catastrophic. Praise God, thank God, that evil does not continually one generation after the other forget evil. And just because you might have come from a godless nation, just because you might have come from a household of people that didn't do anything but party, day and night, morning, noon, and night, from dusk to dawn, 24/7, you know the jargon, just beginning, as did Esau, his father nor his grandfather were good examples. This just lets you know that you can be a better example than even your father figure or your father's father figure. You can be anything you choose to be in the Lord. And Esau here is a prime example of a man who didn't have a godly example, but yet he chose to be a godly example for his people. And so he obeyed God, he prayed to God, and in his impossible situation, he cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord, and it called for the interference of grace. God interferes in Satan's working and brings grace to grim realities. The notion that evil begets evil must at some point give way to the interference of grace, because if that were not the case, then life as we know it would be even more chaotic than it is. I just realized that there were some young people, a young man particularly who is connected to a dear friend of mine, was mortally wounded today, Sunday. I think the family made a note on Facebook that he was missing, and he was mortally injured, and I'm just sending out prayers and good thoughts from on high to the family. Thank God he was a God-loving, God-fearing young man. That is a blessing to have that at such a tender age. Thank God. We know that he is in a better place, and we don't always understand the doings and the workings and the allowance of God, but it is always for a good reason. I say that in encouragement to those who are going through right now. It doesn't make sense today. It won't make sense tomorrow. It might not make sense 300 plus days from now, but one day you will understand why it was necessary. Be encouraged in the Lord and the power of his might for any and everything that he allows. It is for a more powerful reason than we can understand in the heat of that moment. He loves you, and he is doing all things to cause everything that is allowed into your life to come together and work together. Now, when Zerah, the Egyptian, waged war against Esau, God fought for Esau when he was vastly outnumbered and virtually powerless. On Esau's return from victory, the word of the Lord came to Assyria. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Faith and obedience were reiterated as God's prerequisite for his interference of grace. So in order to get God to come into your impossible situations, the order of position or the prerequisite of that request being fulfilled is faith and obedience. Faith and obedience are the two components that causes God to interfere in your situation with grace. Esau is said to have remained faithful all of his life. That is, he never worshipped any other gods. But later in his life, Esau seems to have relied more on people than on God. Azar made a treaty with Benadad of Aram, relying on him instead of God for military safety. The prophet Hanani reminded Azar of God's dependability in impossible situations, but Azar disobeyed God and imprisoned God's spokesperson. At the end of his life, Azar sought help from physicians, not God. It seemed that Azar slowly stopped relying on God, and God stopped interfering, much to Azar's detriment. When we trust, love, and the Lord, and we obey him, he will interfere in our impossible situations with his grace. That's the kind of interference we can welcome. And what is that word? His grace is sufficient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All of that word is still correct. Still important. Still a good practice. And so, as we hit the halfway mark, we would just like to switch channels, if we may. And we would just like to say that for those of you who are going through, I encourage you this morning. You know, I've been going through something for a moment, and I'm not going to say that it's getting worse, but there's a new part of this experience from moment to moment and glory to glory. But that being said, I know that God is in control. And I'm kind of where Azar was at the beginning of this interference of grace, peace. I am in what appears to the natural eye to be an impossible situation. Somewhere down in my spirit, I know that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Even when you get those final notices and you find your courage to do something to hopefully get it done, and you realize that that final notice is already passed by a few days. There's no putting it on hold. There's no more extension. This is your final notice, and if it doesn't happen by XYZ, then you will be, you know, in a bad place. And so you find out when you decide to take your courage and make that happen that you have already exceeded that final notice date by several days. That's God. That's God interfering in your situation with grace. You know, 5 days plus ago or whatever be the case, time that man gave you, but God interfered in that situation with grace. It was impossible. There was no point of you even asking anybody for any more time because that was the final date. It was that day or no date. You would be now looking at some extra stuff and looking at that in the dark with a flashlight. You know what I mean? But God is merciful. God is good. God is great. God is grace. And his grace interferes in your situation if you pray and if you have faith. And it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. The faith of a mustard seed will get it done. The faith of a mustard seed. I tell you, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I tell you, as I'm getting on with this entrepreneurship of mine and
doing some things and going through life and being what God has placed in me to be. I am looking at an ad of myself in the Palm City Digest. And this ad is letting the people of Lee County know that I am in business, that I have 20 years of experience, that I am doing resumes, that I am doing interviews, that I am transcribing journals into books, that I am doing personal coaching, that I am doing just a few things to mention I am doing. And as God continues to add to this entrepreneurship, I will be adding as he is critiquing and working it out and so forth and so on. Now, as I'm doing an advertisement, if you will, of myself, I can also do an advertisement of you right here on Becky Book Club. Becky Book Club is just one of the many components that will be a part of, is the name of my business, Becky Business Talk, and I can be checked out on my website, which is www.beckybusinessbox.com. Now, don't misspell any of those words and tell me that you couldn't find me, because if you put in www.beckybusinessbox.com, Becky Business Box, written as one word, though it's three words, but they're all together, then you will find me. And I will be glad to write papers for college students. I will be glad to write resumes for those who are finding themselves going back into the job market, just had to do after years. I will transcribe your journals and your recorded notes into journal book format if you are so inclined to seek that service through my business. Again, this is Becky. I am the Becky who is the sole proprietor of Becky Business Box. So if you're interested in or have services, need of any of those services, just to mention a few of the things that I do, or if you have college students that have to do a lot of papers and want to hire somebody to help assist with that process, or if you have a work service that is in need of someone to help people write resumes, I will do that very reasonable to none, if that is something that will assist someone on their way, because I'm all about assisting people on their way. That being said, let's get on with this part of, I will be continuing on this subject of obedience, because as I was on that other subject of evolution versus creation for weeks and weeks and weeks, but I won't be on this for weeks and weeks. I pray not. I don't know, but I don't feel that, because I have a guest that will be on in a couple more weeks. I have a brand new guest, a brand new author, I should say, that will be a guest here on the book club. And she wrote a book in a matter of days. Never had a desire to write a book, thought she would write a book. What she does do is live drama, and she does it all over the world. She is the writer, maybe co-writer, of these dramas, and she produces them with another associate and friend of hers, and they take these productions all over the world. I mean, Haiti and Jamaica and England, and I mean, all over the world. And maybe one of these days I might be on that set, because I'm getting ready to get busy. I'm getting ready to get foot loose, fancy free as a baby bird. Well, I was going to carry this on for a little bit more, but I think, because I'm starting to cough again, that I would just like to maybe do something really, really quick as I come to the close before I cough and cough and cough myself in two. But again, look forward to sharing the platform, if you will, with a very dear friend of mine, a very sweet lady, very, very talented, and wrote a book in a matter of days. Now, if that isn't God, she was obedient. She is a praying woman. She prays. Oh, my God. She prays. And in that place, she ended up being very ill, having come from one of those journeys and trips that she does when she's doing her plays. Like I said, she's the same person who does those plays all over the place. And in that place, she got very ill. And in that illness, I mean, delirious with fever, she wrote a book. Never wrote a book in her life. Lord, teach me to walk in obedience to your way. I remember when I was in high school and I had to take a required swimming class one semester. I hated it because it was at 7:30 every morning, and my hair was ruined for the rest of the day. There weren't any portable hair dryers back then. If you can even imagine such primitive times, we had to swim daily, rain or shine, and it could get quite cold on those foggy California winter mornings. The only way I could be excused from the swimming was if I were dying, and even then I had to have a note from the doctor. In spite of the misery of that experience, I loved swimming, and I became fairly good at it. I learned that if I was positioned correctly and did all the right moves, I could go forward quickly in the water. It became a smooth maneuver that would get me speedily to the other side of the giant pool, and nothing would make me falter, not even turbulence from other swimmers on either side of me. The same principle is true for you, for us. If we want to successfully navigate the waters of our lives, we must position ourselves correctly and learn all the right moves. If we don't come to turbulent situations, we will not be able to navigate through them. We will end up failing, flailing around and exhausting ourselves just trying to stay afloat. And we will never actually get anywhere. But when we position ourselves under the headship of Christ and learn to do what he requires of us, there is a flow of the Holy Spirit that will carry us wherever we need to go. All the right moves. The way we learn what God expects of us is by reading his word. We can't begin to make the right moves if we don't know what they are. And we can't study all we want in his holy manual of life and learn everything we are supposed to do. But at some point, we will have to jump in the water. The proof of our security is in the doing, not just the knowing. It's one thing to make a list of do's and don'ts, quite another to have a heart for God's ways and a soul that longs to live them out. It's one thing to read about life, it's another to live it. Obedience is something you do. Having a heart to obey is something you pray about. God, help me to be disciplined. I hear this plea from women all over the world. We know a lot about what we are supposed to be doing, but we often have a hard time doing it. We must pray that God will enable us to be disciplined enough to do what we need to do. I am a fairly disciplined person for the most part, but I wasn't always that way. There was a time in my life when I was the exact opposite. I was plagued with depression, and as many of you who have been depressed know, you can't think clearly or organize your life well when you are struggling to find a reason to live. You are unable to do that good for you because you don't know if you're worth it. You don't move forward in your life because it takes all your energy just to survive each day. When I started learning to pray about every aspect of life, I asked God to help me be disciplined enough to be daily in His Word, to pray faithfully, and to take the steps of obedience I needed to take. I asked Him to deliver me from depression and anything else that kept me from all He had for me. I was surprised at how quickly God answered those prayers. I have become disciplined, organized, and obedient beyond what I believe are my natural capabilities. I am still learning new levels of obedience, however, even after 12 years of walking with God. My body is getting older, but as a result of observing God in new ways, my spirit is being renewed with each passing year. And with each new step of obedience I take, I experience new blessings and new freedoms I have not known before and never thought possible. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that once you are saved, you don't have to put forth any effort. That's like getting married and never taking a shower again. You might be able to get away with it for a while, but it's risky business, and your quality of life will definitely suffer. Learning obedience is a lifelong process. There are always new dimensions of it to conquer. Even if you have walked with the Lord for 40 years, you still need to ask God to show you any area where you are not being obedient. We get into trouble when we think we know what to do, and we stop asking God if we're doing it. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Hebrews 2:1. We can never get prideful about how perfectly we are obeying God, because He is continually stretching us and asking us to move into new levels of growth. Nor can we go to the other extreme, saying, "This is just the kind of person I am, undisciplined, unteachable." We have no excuse for not doing what we need to do when God says He will enable us to do it. If we will just call upon Him for help, all we have to say is, "Lord, help me to be disciplined enough to obey You the way You want me to, so I can become the person You created me to be without the perfecting, balancing, refining work of His Holy Spirit. The freedom you have in Christ will turn into a license to do anything you want." And lastly, we will be sharing personal obedience. In addition to the rules we all have to obey, there are specific things God asks each of us to do as individuals in order to move us into the purpose He has for our lives. These are different for each person. For example, 8 years ago, God instructed my husband and me to move from California to Tennessee. This was not something I wanted to do, nor did the thought of doing that ever enter my mind. I was happy where I was and didn't want to leave. But because it was a clear directive from God, we packed up and obeyed. The reason why we moved have become increasingly evident over the years, and I am so grateful we heard God's directive and followed it. But we probably wouldn't have heard if we hadn't actually said the words, "Lord, show us what we are supposed to be doing." It's important that you keep asking God to show you what He wants you to do. If you don't ask, you won't know. It's that simple. For example, God may ask you to take a different job, stop a certain activity, join a certain church, or change the way you've always done something. Whatever He asks you to do, remember, He does this for your greater blessing, your greatest blessing. But you must understand that you may not hear Him all if you're not talking taking the other steps of obedience. He expects all of us to take that are found in his words. He expects all of us to take that are found in his word. One who turns away his ears from hearing the law, even his prayers, is an abomination. It doesn't hurt to ask. Well, there you have it. It is good to ask God. Ask God what he wants you to do. Ask him what he wants you to work at. Ask him, just ask him all kinds of things and talk to him all the time about everything. Ask him to help you to be obedient. Ask him to help you to do whatever it is you desire to do. Ask God. Ask him who giveth much, but to whom much is given, much is required. So, still, ask. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But you got to have faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith or being wavery in your faith, you might as well not ask of God, because he does not honor wavery faith. He does not honor lack of faith. Well, that being said, I think we'll close right there. I've given you a lot to think about, a lot to think about, and it appears that I'm getting ready to start coughing my head off again. So I hope that obedience, the interference of grace, of God's grace, is something that will help you somewhere, somehow, along the way. You be blessed and prosper always, even as your soul prospers. Be blessed, and thanks for tuning in to Becky Book Club. This is the host, and I am honored to have shared with you tonight. Obedience. 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 Good night, all.